Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Paul Cohn from Civil Rights Now. So, tell me a little bit about Civil Rights Now.
Civil Rights Now is a BC-based, not-for-profit, nonpartisan society that has been that was founded in 2009 that advocates the legislation to give people with disabilities practical tools to enable them to live with freedom and dignity. Our ultimate objective is to convince the government of British Columbia to pass a law similar to the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act.
So, when you mentioned tools to live with dignity, mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about what specific tools those are?
Sure. We think to build a foundation for a law similar to the ADA, British Columbians with disabilities need two pieces of legislation. Number one, we need a law that gives people with disabilities or their families the option of individualized funding, which is they should have the right by statute to either pick their own service provider or the money that given to service providers should go directly to people with disabilities. We think that would be putting the golden rule in action, which is he or she controls the gold makes the rules. We think that if the money, the public money, that's used to provide goods and services to people with disabilities is controlled by them, that would give them real time, real leverage in the real world to get genuine account abilities of government contractors. The second law we think that would be a good foundation for an ADA-like law in BC is a law that would give the Attorney General of British Columbia the power to investigate alleged civil rights violations in any community care settings such as group homes, extended care hospitals, supportive housing, public schools, etc. And if the investigation deems that civil rights violations have happened, the Attorney General would have the right to bring civil rights suits, civil suits on behalf of people whose rights have been violated. We think people with disabilities need this in BC because when your civil rights are violated, you don't need a good hug, you need a good lawyer.
So, are there any challenges in presenting this potential legislation?
Well, we were founded in 2009, and the constitution of our society prohibits us from seeking out or accepting government funding, and we're all volunteers of the challenges. Simply logistics of traveling across British Columbia and talking to people and trying to convince them that our proposal is in the public interest. And one of the challenges that we've faced when it comes to talking with people with disabilities and their families is a lot of, and we've spoken to hundreds of people over the last 5 years, is that unfortunately a lot of people with disabilities in BC are afraid of their own government. They're afraid that if they and publicly endorse our ideas, that somehow the government will retaliate against them. Also, some service providers who we've asked to endorse our ideas have also been very frank with us that they won't endorse us because they're afraid of retaliation from the government of D.C. So that's one of the barriers. But you overcome that with clarity, focus, and persistence. And we've spoken with many, directly with many politicians in D.C. And we also think that the environment is receptive to or conducive to the success of our proposal, because, as you know, Ontario has passed two accessibility laws, and Manitoba did 2 years ago, and the United States did 25 years ago. And as some of your listeners may know, during the last federal election, the Greens, the NDP, and the Liberals all committed that if elected, they would pass a National Disability Act. And one thing that's forgotten is that in 2006, the then federal Conservatives, they promised that if elected, they would pass a National Disability Act. And they, as we know, were elected, they didn't get that promise. But nevertheless, it is a mainstream idea in Canada that people with disabilities do need a Disability Act. So we think that the stars are starting to align for the success of what we're trying to do.
So, in your time with Civil Rights Now, mm-hmm. has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Yes, we've been endorsed. Our proposals are two laws that I referred to earlier. We call that the Think Twice proposal, which is, if you think you're never going to be a person with a disability, think twice. Or if you are a person with a disability, you think the government's going to take care of you properly, think twice. And we have got endorsements from the BC Civil Liberties Association and the BC Green Party as both endorsed our proposal as in the public interest. And also the BC Representative for Children and Youth, Mary Ellen Chacon-Lafond, has publicly stated that our proposed legislation should be seriously looked into. So those three moments were were successes for us, and we were very grateful and happy about those, that those people and organizations were willing to lend their prestige to what we have proposed.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thank you, and if anybody's interested in more details about Civil Rights Now, they can look at our website, which is civilrightsnow.ca.
Working with politicians to make real improvements for people with disabilities can be a dicey business, and so much as any politician will say whatever it takes to get elected many times. But the fact of the matter is, the real test of their leadership ability is what they do afterward. Do they come through? Do they make real change for individuals with disabilities? Fact is, we're talking about a huge base of their constituents. And honestly, individuals with disabilities should have the same rights, the same protections as anyone else in society. You can't just start doling out civil rights or civil protections, say, you get it because you're this way, you don't get it because you're that way. It's unfair and it's discriminatory. But working with our leaders, pushing for change, getting the message out there, I think Paul, Civil Rights Now, have exactly the right approach. And though they're focused in the BC area, doesn't mean it's necessarily going to stay in the BC area. It's so much easier for a group within a government to say, this can work, because this group has proven it. Our good friend Mayor Mike Bradley of Sarnia took this concept, and he ran with it in a very great way, known as the Mayor's Initiative. He set up a challenge to mayors across the province of Ontario to say, we have a working base of individuals with disabilities. We've created this model. It works. It's effective. So, can you follow through in the same way? Can you create equal opportunities, equal rights, if you will? Can you take what we have done and learn from it? Even adapt it to what best suits your area. Truth is, precedent is a huge thing. If people are so convinced something won't work without trying, the only thing that can usually talk them out is someone taking a stand, making the effort, actually proving whether or not something's possible. And that is what Paul and Civil Rights Now have done. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hiatus House is a social service agency offering confidential intervention for families experiencing domestic violence, including the Crisis Intervention Program, Residential Program, Transitional and Housing Support Program, Crossroads Program, Fresh Start Men's Program, Fresh Start Women's Program City, Fresh Start Women's Program Country, and the Hiatus House School-Based Program. If you are interested or for more information, please contact us. Call us at 519-252-7781 or visit our website at www.hiatushouse.com or come to our location at 250 Lewis Avenue, Windsor. Contact Hiatus House. Get safe. Get help.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Paul Cohn from Civil Rights Now. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Charles Peterson, who will be telling us about disability gliders. So tell me a little bit about your insights into disabilities and gliders.
Well, I guess it was probably 30 years ago or so. I had a friend who was top of the world. He was vice president of the hottest boutique ad agency in Canada, and he had money and success and recognition and wonderful home and everything. And one night he fell down the stairs at his local pub and woke up in Sunnybrook Hospital a quadriplegic, and I think he never ever got over it. Actually he just died this past summer. But I was awakened to the instant that can change you from fully functioning to your life is very circumscribed. And shortly after that, another friend of mine who I had known her when I raced sailboats, hadn't seen her for some years, encountered her on the street in a wheelchair. And as we reminisced about the old days, and I asked, you missed the sailing? And she said, God, no, I missed the flying. And being a glider pilot, I said, well, I'll take you flying. I was just delighted at her excitement and sympathetic to her frustration. And a little research turned up this organization in the United States, Philadelphia, called Freedom's Wings International. I took her to an outreach program they were running in Buffalo, and she was able to fly using an adapted glider with hand controls. And so she was back in full control of an aircraft, different kind of aircraft, a glider. But I thought, this is a wonderful program. And I had unwittingly discovered what the professionals call recreational therapy. I started looking into that, and I determined that I would bring the program to our country. So I talked the people with that program into coming up to my glider club for a demo week. That was 2002, 2003. They did it again. And based on the very successful demo week, which we ran in conjunction with a gliding club, York Soaring Association, 65 miles northwest of Toronto, and the Canadian Paraplegic Association, as it was called, and the KW Accessibility. We had a hugely successful demonstration week. It involved I guess a businessman would call it a strategic alliance between the gliding club with all the physical plant, the runways, the tow planes, the gliders, the hangars, the clubhouse, the two organizations I mentioned, and the charity, Youth Flight Canada Education Fund, of which I am, and was at the time, coincidentally, chairman. I utilized that as an applicant to the Trillium Foundation of Ontario, which is the lottery funds deployed in the community. And we were successful in obtaining a $75,000 grant, with which we bought a glider. And we refined and improved the program. We were able to bring it to a very advanced stage at York Soaring, to the point where the board of York decided that York would be an equal access and equal opportunity club. So we renovated our washrooms. We're the first to go to accessible standard, and that was with the help of a grant from WestJet and Air Canada. Ramps were installed everywhere. The new accommodation we built included an accessible cabin. The showers we installed are accessible. And we got it to something that other people were curious about. The next step was outreach. We went down for 3 years to a club near Ottawa called Gatineau Gliding, and we took our glider down there and did a demo week with the local pilots from Gatineau and some local organizations, a rehab hospital. And we were able to have Gatineau establish their very own program. So we had a second chapter. And other chapters have followed, and there's now one in Vancouver. There's three in Alberta, in Calgary, Edmonton, and the newest in Lethbridge. The one at York Soaring near Toronto, and the one near Ottawa I mentioned, Gatineau.
So what's been the greatest success in all this? Greatest moment for you?
Well, we keep having great moments. For a pilot, and if you've never tried gliding, it would be impossible for me to adequately describe the freedom and joy and lightness, the ethereal, almost spiritual sensation. to be able to share something you love with somebody for whom it is probably more important than even to you is a very gratifying thing. And so many of our pilots, in an average year, we probably have a couple of thousand man hours of volunteer time from the club members go into executing the program. And I think you'd find that so many of those, they drive home after a day flying, and you just feel good about yourself that you've brightened someone else's life. And particularly for most of us, I think it's the children. The Blue Ridge Rehab Hospital regularly brings up a busload of developmentally challenged kids. So we're all the time gratified. I got last week a short letter from a quadriplegic pilot at the newest chapter in Lethbridge. If it's appropriate, I'd read that to you.
Certainly.
Yeah, it's written by Kerry Wright and was titled Soaring to Me. He writes, "Imagine that you're free as a bird. You're a mile high, silently circling on a beautiful clear spring day, gaining altitude every turn. Slightly below you, there's another sleek, engineless aircraft taking advantage of the same thermal, a pocket of rising air. You gently move the joystick left and right, banking the aircraft to try and hit the center of the rising air. You glance at the instruments, being mindful of airspeed, rate of climb, and the other glider. The more altitude we gain, the longer we stay up. Your instructor, a friend in the back seat, is getting great photos of the other glider that is piloted by another club member. You see and fly with the birds and climb to the base of puffy cotton ball clouds. You notice tiny dinky toy cars creeping along the highway and the little towns a mile below. You constantly remain aware of your location so you can always make it home. 2 hours later, you finally give in and head toward the airfield. You steer around the traffic pattern, your instructor making the radio calls and operating the spoilers to lose altitude. You watch your speed, adjusting it by raising and lowering the nose. You line up on the runway, gently pull back on the stick to round out as the field nears, and grease the landing. What a perfect day. Soon you are confined to your cumbersome electric wheelchair. You are no longer a pilot. You are once again a quadriplegic, dependent on help from others. But you've tasted 2 hours of total freedom, soaring with birds and other pilots, silently sailing the sky from cloud to cloud, a mile above those poor earthbound creatures that know not the experience. Nothing can wipe the grin off your face or replace the memory. That is soaring to me." That was an unsolicited testimonial from Kerry.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
My friends, I'm in awe of this story. I've said it a million times that a person with a disability can feel free when they're just doing what they love to do. This is someone, a quadriplegic, transcending the boundaries of what many of us would think is possible. Being up there, soaring above the world, just knowing that complete freedom as described in the letter. Experiencing something just so liberating, just being at one with nature. Such an incredible experience. That's what I think all of us, whether we have a disability or not, are really looking for. Just that sense of freedom, that sense of peace, just being a part what we love to do the most. And this is an incredible story. The truth of the matter is, a person with a disability can achieve well beyond what most of us would consider possible. For more information about disabilities in flight, visit freedomswings.ca. Truth is that this simply a testament to the spirit of life with a disability, that Nothing is impossible. Nothing is beyond our reach. And it's stories like this that I love to hear. A person with a disability not only living with strength, but sharing that strength with others. When Charles mentioned getting together kids with developmental disabilities so that they can experience the joy of the work that goes on, that really struck me in so much as a person with a developmental disability might never be offered the opportunity. And why not, I question. Why should we say, because you learn a little differently, that we shouldn't give you the opportunity to soar above the world, to feel the air, to enjoy, to experience all of what nature has to offer? We as a society have the power to make opportunities for people with disabilities. When you hear of an organization or an individual who actually cares, who actually takes it to heart, it's a very moving thing, I think. There are some out there who see it simply, yes, it's a job, it's what I do, it's what I get paid for. But the ones who understand the greater meaning behind standing by a person with a disability are the ones who say things like, our organization is trying to work ourselves out of existence to provide enough equal rights so it can be sustained without our constantly reminding the government this is something they have to do. When inclusion ceases to be an afterthought, when it becomes just nature to us, that is where progress has been made. And that is where Charles and Freedom Swings have taken it to heart, recognizing potential and opportunity can be made. When you stand by a person with a disability, you tend to put your heart in it because you recognize this is a person, an intelligent, capable person. And past a certain point, you say to yourself, I want them to succeed. I recognize they can succeed. And when they do, you share in the experience, you share in the joy, which is why this is such a great organization, in my opinion, folks. In fact, both of today's guests spoke of really the passion that goes into the work for individuals with disabilities. If you have the right heart to do it, that's the key thing. You don't need to be out there making big, huge financial contributions. Just have a heart to be that someone for a person with disability. Maybe the first someone who's ever said, I believe you can succeed, or I know you can do this. Even if you're afraid, you can achieve. Don't let what others tell you tear you down. Be that someone who builds up a person with a disability. Be that someone who tells them they matter to society. And organizations like Civil Rights Now and Freedom's Wings, that's really what they're doing. They're creating a model for the rest of us that says, if you have a heart and you want to find a way to help a person with a disability, you can and you will. Because all it takes is asking the question, what can I do? One of the show's favorite guests, Samantha Newmarch, answered that question years ago in asking, what can I do? She held a door for a person in a wheelchair. Simple, everyday, courteous act. Or was it? Does it speak more to the respect of the right to access than meets the eye? I think so. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.